This morning we're going to be looking at Ephesians 4, reading 7 through 16. Let's jump down to verse 11 through 16. Paul continues to write, "And he," meaning Jesus, "gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherd teacher, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, until we attain to mature manhood, till we attain to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, or instead, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." So the last 2 weeks, we've talked first about apostles and prophets and evangelists and how these leaders, how Christ has gifted these leaders, equipped these leaders, and is continuing to use these leaders within the church. Last week, then, we talked about the shepherd teacher. We talked about elders and deacons, two other leaders that Christ puts into the church, even though they're not mentioned specifically here. The leaders that are mentioned here, Paul is being specific here and saying, look, these leaders are given the word ministry because it is the word and the spirit that equips the church. It builds the church up, right, so that we all grow up in maturity together. Now, so the leaders have their job, right, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And so this week, I kind of wanted to look at this idea of spiritual gifts because this is part of your equipping. It's part of my equipping, right? Equip the saints to do the work of ministry, which Paul is applying, and therefore God is implying. There is work to be done by the church, by people, by the saints, which you all are, all of us are, right? There's specific work to be done. And so each local church, wherever they are planted, no matter who they are, right, we believe, so like for us, right, we believe God has put us here in order to try to help influence and help reach out to the neighborhoods around us, right? Excuse me. Well, to do that, it's going to take work, all of us working together, talents that you have, spiritual gifting that the Spirit has given to us. And so it's right that we understand these things. So as we equip and build up, we're able to use the things that the Spirit that God has put in us. Does that make sense? It's kind of like a overall type of thing. So what I want to do this morning is, and I'm going to jump around to a couple of different passages here, but I want us to look at defining spiritual gifts. I want us to look at determining spiritual gifts, and then developing spiritual gifts. So how do we define the spiritual gift? How do we determine a spiritual gift? And how do we develop this spiritual gift? And so, The first two, I'm going to go probably kind of quickly because it's not hard to define or determine. First of all, understand that there's a difference between natural talents and spiritual gifts. Okay, so when you are born, with certain talents. It's just because of your makeup, your DNA, how you are brought up. Okay, now God does give you those talents, right? But those are like natural talents. So, for instance, like Joe, our worship leader, right? He is very musically talented, right? He can write his own stuff. He can just listen to it and play it. He plays drums and guitar and bass and key. I mean, he's just phenomenal with things, right? Those are natural talents, okay? Some of you are naturally talented at, art or mechanics or farming or numbers, right? I don't have that natural talent with numbers. Numbers are like foreign to me. And so we have natural talents that are meant to reach certain goals and objectives, okay? With these natural talents, they either come naturally or they come by training, okay? Now, God can still supernaturally work through those talents, okay? God can use anything and does use everything. But talents are possessed not just by Christians, but by non-Christians as well. It doesn't matter who the person is, what the person believes, natural talents are always exhibited, right? On the other hand, spiritual gifts are only possessed by Christians, okay? So only Christians, only believers, only those who have committed their lives to Christ, whom the Holy Spirit indwells, only those people have spiritual gifts. And so spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit as they have been predetermined by the Father and the Son has obtained for himself. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verse 11, Paul would say, all these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who are portions to each one individually as God wills. Dropping down in verse 18, but as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he has chosen. If you go back to verse 11 verse 10 and 11 in Ephesians 4, right? Christ gave gifts to the men, and gave some to be apostles and prophets and so on. So spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit. They are predetermined by the Father. They are obtained for us by the Son. Which means that when God called you into salvation, Paul would say earlier in Ephesians, right? Before the foundations of the world were laid, he chose us in Christ, right? And so all the way back then, God saw all of humanity and all of the gifting, all of the ministry, all of the work that they were to do, that you were to do. So everything, and so when Paul says again in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So this isn't like you come to know Jesus and God's like, okay, let's see. What am I going to do with Barb? Well, maybe I can do this with her. Maybe I can do this. No, Barb comes to know Christ and God says, okay, Barb, here is your work. Here's your gifting. Here's your work. Now trust me and walk with me and learn from me, and I'll teach you how to use these things. I'll show you all the areas that I want you to plug into. But God already has all these things, and so when we come to Christ, he puts them into us through the Holy Spirit and says, okay, now depend on me for the further instructions. Of course, we're going like, okay, man, what's God's will for my life? What does God want me to do? And God's like, I know what my will is. I know what it is that I want you to do for me. Trust me, hear me, seek me, right? The spiritual gifts are located in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, Ephesians 4:11 talks about the gifted leaders. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And Peter actually breaks them into two categories and just says basically all the gifting of the word and all the gifting of service. So all those things that fit into those two categories. Overall, there are about 20 mentioned in Scripture. But no list is exhaustive. In fact, if you were to line up each list in Corinthians and Romans and Ephesians and even Peter, you would see that they are somewhat different, okay? Which means that there could very well be way more gifting out there than what is actually listed. Paul's intent to list out the gifts for us was not to create an exhaustive list. He has a point for the gifts that he uses in those particular chapters, such as in Ephesians 4 here. His point is to show that there are gifted leaders to empower the saints of the church to do the ministry of the church. His point isn't to list all the giftings for us, right? His point even isn't to list all the leadership responsibilities in the church, right? So no list is ever exhausted. And you could even see that some lists overlap. So like for one, one list has administration in it, and another list has leadership in it. Well, the Greek words are really similar right there, and so really it's kind of the same gift, okay? And then 1 Corinthians 7, you know, Paul's talking about marriage and stuff. Well, he lists there in chapter 7, verse 7, this gift of celibacy or gift of singleness. Well, that very well could be another spiritual gift. Excuse me. As a denomination, we believe that all of the gifts still continue to exist. All of the gifts are needed. All of the gifts are relevant. There are some denominations, very good denominations, that would say, the gifts exist except for certain ones. Those are typically like what is known as sign gifts, such as miracles and healings and tongues and prophecy. And they would actually use the verse that Tim spoke about this morning in 1 Corinthians 13, that, you know, at a point there's not going to be any need for prophecy or anything. Well, that time hasn't come yet, because what Paul is referring there is when Christ returns. Well, obviously, yes, when Christ returns, there's no more need for spiritual gifting in the church, because we're all perfect with the Father, with the Son, with the Spirit, right? And so we believe that all the spiritual gifts are still used today. You'll also find that in these listings here that while we can find examples of people using some of these giftings, there is no real description about the gifts. There's no like, okay, here is the gift of leadership, and here's how you use it. This is why you use it. Here's who's qualified, and all that type of stuff, right? they just kind of, Paul just kind of gives out the names. There is two exceptions, and that is in 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul talks extensively about prophecy and about tongues. But he only does that because the Corinthian church was severely abusing prophecy and tongues. So Paul steps in and says, okay, look, let me tell you how to use the prophetic gift and how to use the gift of tongues. Here's how you use it. Here's how you misuse it, right? But other than that, there is really no hardcore description about it, which means that we need to depend on the Holy Spirit, who owns the gifts, to teach us how to use the gift. Understanding that the Spirit means to equip us with the gift in order to build up God's church, in order to further God's kingdom, not ours, and to display God's glory. It is part of this manifold wisdom that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 3, that the church is to display the manifold wisdom of God. So as we give ourselves to the Spirit's control, as we allow him to work in us and through us, and we do things that are just crazy, such as miracles and healings and such, that still do happen. People who are not a part of the church will look and say, wow, there is a God. Yeah, absolutely, there's a God. You mean he's real and personal? Like he will do this for us? Absolutely, he will do this for us. All you have to do is believe. Believe in Jesus, right? And really, I mean, in our country, I know we don't see a lot of miracles. We don't see a lot of healings as we should. As we should. But there are tons of that stuff going on overseas for God to continue to display his glory. And people who are Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist or atheist are seeing these things happen and coming to know Christ in radical, powerful ways. That's why God gives you the gift. He says, here's a gift, use it. All right, Lord, I don't know what to do. Well, I'll tell you what to do. And his glory is displayed, his kingdom is furthered, and his church is built up. All Christians have at least one spiritual gift. Every single Christian has at least one spiritual gift. And no Christian has all the gifts. So there is no super Christian that says, well, I got all of the gifting. No, you don't. Why? Did you ever stop and think about that? Why do Christians not have all the gifting? What'd you say? Exactly. Exactly. If, I'm going to pick on you again, Barb. So if Barb had all the spiritual gifts, right? First of all, I'm sure pride would root up inside you like, I'm special, right? But then Barb will have no need for Randy and Terry. Barb would have no need for CW or Pete, right? God keeps things from us, not to give us the full measure of things. Why? So that we depend on one another. This is why Paul in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12, why he keeps referring to the body as a human body. And just as all the organs and muscles and joints, that while all those things depend on one another for the body to fully function, just so the church needs to depend on one another to fully function as the church. That's in ministry, that's in spiritual giftedness, spiritual fullness, right? We need one another. All right. No spiritual gift, or spiritual gifts are given not to be kept hidden. And spiritual gifts are not proof of one's spiritual maturity or spirit fullness. An example of this would be the Corinthian church, who basically said, well, because we speak in tongues and because we have prophecy, we're more superior than everybody else. And that's just not the case. Rather, the sign of spiritual maturity is the spiritual fruit in a person, which goes back to the spirit filling of the person. The more that the spirit fills you, the greater evidence of fruit is seen in your life, which gives way to using the spiritual gifts in the correct manner. So, gifts are not a sign of spiritual maturity. So, that's a little bit about defining spiritual gifts. Now, determining spiritual gifts. If you were to Google spiritual gifts, a whole plethora of sites and testing will come up. Everybody and anybody has books and websites and all that type of stuff to go on. And so you can do that. I have taken many spiritual gift tests. We have, as a church, taken spiritual gift tests. And they are good to help us reveal areas where God may be working within us. And yet, they are faulty. Because especially if you take a multiple tests over different sites, you'll notice that your gifting is going to change. And it changes based on the questions that are asked, how they are asked. Some tests don't include all of the gifting, right? And so spiritual gift testing is okay, but we shouldn't base our whole knowledge on these tests, okay? It's a good supplement for some areas, but we shouldn't base it on, well, I took this test and these are my top five giftings, because I'm sure if I give you another test, they would change somehow. Instead, I would argue that we should first kind of ask ourselves some questions. How has God been working in your life? Look at your life now and maybe in the last couple months or last couple years. How has God been working in your life? What have you seen him do? How has he been using you or working through you? Right? What are some passions that God has been birthing within you? You could take a test and then it says that you have the spiritual gift of teaching. But if you don't have a passion for teaching and God hasn't used you in teaching, I don't think you have the gift of teaching. You may like to talk, but that doesn't mean that you have the gift of teaching, right? In what ways do you enjoy serving other people? Has the leadership of the church tapped you for ministry? Have they come to you and said, hey, you know what? I see this in you. I don't know if you see it or not, but we do. Would you mind trying this out? Kind of stepping into this, taking a risk a little bit, right? After asking yourself those questions, kind of processing some of that, begin praying that the Spirit would reveal his gifting to you. Okay, Holy Spirit, I believe that you're in me. I believe that you have given me a gift. And so I ask that you would reveal it to me. Show me. Teach me. Lead me. Help me to understand what it is that I have from you that you want me to use. And then begin stepping out in faith and do what he tells you to do, right? He's not going to lead you wrong. He's not going to cause you to do something that you're not already equipped for. And so if he tells you to do something, you're like, oh man, I've never done that before. Okay, well, he will equip you. Then expect the Holy Spirit to work through you without him accomplishing your agenda. Too often we come to the Spirit and says, all right, I'll do this for you if you produce these results, right? What are we doing? We're asking the Spirit to work on our agenda. And so we should expect the Spirit to work through us in abundant ways without him accomplishing our agenda, so that God's kingdom is extended, so that God's church is built up, so God's glory is seen. Anybody have any questions about that at all? John. I think it is both, because there are some non-Christians who are great teachers, and so that would be a talent, that they're just naturally good at communicating with people. Now I think God can supernaturally work through that, right? And yet I think teaching is also a spiritual gift, where God enables somebody to do something that they weren't previously able to do, okay? I believe, and I'm not puffing myself up here, I believe I have a gift of teaching. Before becoming a Christian, and sometimes you can even notice it while I speak, I have a stuttering problem. And before becoming a Christian, I hated being up front, in front of people. I hated talking to people, especially like this. Like this, I could not do. I hated to do it. And so when God called me into ministry, I was like, I can't speak to people. I don't like being in front of people, right? But I believe it's him that allows me to do this. So I think teaching is kind of both. Does that make sense?
Are these also called manifestations, or is that a completely different thing?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Because I have been somewhere where they were teaching about all the manifestations and having all the manifestations. And even though I was still learning, and we're always going to learn and grow.
Sure.
But at that given point in time, I was like, this is not right.
Yeah.
We can't all have that,
sure.
Like you said, because I wouldn't need Rose if I had all that.
Correct.
And she shows me things that God shows me things through her, let me put it that way.
Sure.
That I learn.
Yeah.
And maybe there's something that he does through me, or has a gift or ability or talent or however you want to call it, that shows her something.
Sure.
We all need each other, obviously. So I'm glad that you brought that up, because I was thinking about all these manifestations and I'm going, how can one person have all of these manifestations?
Sure.
That would be one perfect person.
Sure. Sure. Which Jesus had all of them,
yeah.
Right? I would tend to agree that, think that anyway, that the 12 apostles and Paul may have had all of the gifting in order to begin producing the church, right? In order to get things going. Because of what he teaches, what Jesus taught and all that about this interdependence on one another, that, yeah, you know, we don't have all the gifts because we need one another for all the gifting. Now, when Christ comes, right, and we are fully like him, you know, not God status, of course, but we are fully, you know, in our perfect state, I think then we're going to be able to function in all of these giftings, right? But right now, that's not happening because we need one another, right? And I think we could safely say if we had all the gifting, there would be a lot more abuses with those giftings than what there are now. Just because of our sinfulness, because of our pride and our selfishness, right? So in developing spiritual gifts are developed the more you allow the Holy Spirit to work his abilities through you. As I said before, as the Holy Spirit fills you, he begins producing this fruit within you, the fruit of love, which manifests in joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness, right? And as we allow this to be displayed more in our life, then the spiritual gifts are able to be used correctly. So the spiritual gifts should point back to the spiritual fruit in our life, which should point back to the Spirit's filling in our life. So the more we depend on him, the more he is able to work his ability through us. I believe this is why Paul and Peter couch spiritual gifts within a context of one's character and lifestyle and maturity. I want to read two passages for you. Romans chapter 12, Paul begins this: "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Therefore, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to you, let us use them." And then he goes on to list these spiritual gifts. And so he's saying, look, we need to be humble about this. We need to remember that we need to interdepend on one another, that there is one body made up of different people. And so therefore, as we use these gifts, we need to be unified in them. We need to be dependent on one another. We need to be humble. We need to be kind. We need to be loving, right? Same thing in Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4. Look, you need to be self-controlled and sober-minded. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Then he goes in talking about those who speak and those who serve. It's in the context of as we mature in character, as we mature in our faith, as we mature in how we go about living, that these spiritual gifts are to be used. So for instance, one gift is having a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, which means that sometimes as you're praying for somebody, you'll be praying and all of a sudden you get a picture in your mind, or maybe you get a passage of scripture, or maybe the Spirit gives you a word. You need to then decide and say, okay, Spirit, is this something I need to share with them right now? And if he says yes, do you do it in a harsh manner? Do you do it in a overbearing manner? No, because that's not the fruit of the Spirit. How do you give out that word? Well, you give it in gentleness and your kindness, right? As you teach people, sometimes the Spirit is going to ask you to give a convicting word to people. And so you should speak it out in authority, but you do it in gentleness, right? Not beating them over the head with it, right? As you serve others, you serve not to, which is a spiritual gift, right? You don't do it in a way that puffs you up. You don't do it for all the fame and glamour. You do it so that they see Christ. You do it so that they are enriched, so that they are blessed, so that they are built up. Now, in the gift of tongues, there are a couple different of tongues. Let me just say this. There's a prayer language of tongues, which is meant for you and God, for you to grow in your own encouragement, for your own faith. And yet there are times when God will supernaturally speak through somebody in the gifting of tongues, right? And then there, as we're called to, we're called that someone's going to have it, an interpretation of that. And as they speak forth that interpretation, that is to build up the church. That is to equip the church, right? The gift of hospitality, gift of shepherding, gift of evangelism, exhortation. So there are multiple gifts in here. The point isn't to have them all. The point is to use what you've been given as the Spirit fills you and grows you to depend on Him, to work, for Him to work through you. Does that make sense? Anybody have any questions? Exhortation. What do you think it is? If you are exhorting somebody. Building up. Yeah. So, there's a gift of exhortation Barnabas, right? He was called the son of encouragement. He had the spirit, great spiritual gift of encouraging people. And so, maybe you have that. I think you do. Yeah. The unique ability to come alongside somebody and greatly encourage them in their walk of faith, or greatly encourage them in times of distress. Yeah. Through cards, through phone call, through whatever. ability to speak into somebody's life. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes.
That doesn't mean that only those who have a gift should do it.
Correct.
Because we all should be exhorting and building one another up.
Exactly. Yes. Yep.
That's not a question.
Yeah. Yeah. No. No. Yeah. Yeah. John was saying that just because you may not think you have the gift of exhortation doesn't exempt you from encouraging people. Right? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We should all encourage one another. And sometimes you may think you may not have it, when in fact you really do. Yeah. Timothy.
Like, at least for me, my personal experience, like, I think the battle so much lies like within this the filling of the Spirit. And our human nature wants control, you know. Our human nature wants to try on our own strength and efforts, you know. Mm-hmm. And we can get by doing things, but I just think from personal experience, it's when it's a deep, like, trust in the Holy Spirit working in and through us, you know, that moment by moment. No, I'm trusting in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, give me those words. Give me... Lord, use me, Holy Spirit. Just those simple prayers, like as we go about our day or in ministry or with this individual, that makes all the difference. And you, after that experience happens, at least for me, sometimes I'm like, man, I can't believe those words came out of my mouth. And I realized that wasn't me. That was the Holy Spirit and His gift working through me. And I think it's so much of a surrender to His control again and again and again, so that He may work in and through us, not us, but Him through us. I just want to point that out because I think that's so important for us to be using our gifts.
Yeah, because the temptation is, oh, well, I have a gift of this. I got this, right? And the moment you get into that thinking, that's when you're walking in the flesh of that, and you're walking in your own dependence upon it. Yeah. Now God can still come and deliver, and you're like, huh, wow, look what God did, right? And other times you're gonna fall flat on your face. Why? Because God's like, you were walking in your own fullness, not my fullness. You're using it for your glory, not for my glory. You're like, oh, yeah. And then, like, you're like a dog with his tail between the legs, right? I'm sorry, Lord. And He's so gracious to forgive. And He's so gracious to still use, work through us. So.
I've never heard anybody interpret this church.
In this church? No, because I've never, we haven't had anybody stand up with a word in a tongue. We have had people pray in tongues. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I have heard people interpret before. Yeah. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Pretty cool. Amen.